So we are right into just the start of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And right at the start, I want to encourage us, it's time to get locked in. Now, we said last week there's a lot of locking up going on, lockdowns going on. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on right now. But what if we chose to be locked in with the presence of God? What if we chose to like literally lock in? You know, when you think of lock in, you think of like an animal in your scope, and maybe you're playing a game, or maybe you've been in the wild, or I don't know where you've been, but you just get the crosshairs on and you feel like, right, that's it. I'm locked in. My aim is on, my focus is on, and you get locked in on the target. And today I want to encourage us that for this 21 days, we are going to focus and lock in on Jesus like never before. He is our target. He is the one that we are after. And so today we're going to talk about being locked in and saying, hey, right, how can we do this thing? And how can we go strong when we go after the presence of God? Because there really is no one like him. And Jesus, I want more of you. Jesus, I want all that you have for me. And I want to pursue your presence like never before. And so for these 21 days, that's really what this fast is about. We're denying ourselves of other things. For you, it might be food. For me, it's food. For others, it might be something else. But something that takes our time and takes away our attention. And we said, you know what? I'm putting that to the side for this 21 days. It's not going to be nice. It's probably going to be costly. In fact, it's always costly anytime you give something up. But what I'm going after is worth far more. And so I want to be locked in. And so my encouragement today and my challenge today is if we've made a decision to go after God for these 21 days, let's make sure that we're locked in. Because otherwise we can say we're doing it, but we're not really locked into the notion. We're not really focused. We don't really have him in our sights. And so today, this is what we are going to concentrate on. We want more of God. And I wrote down just a few things what we want. Want more of God because we want to know his voice. Hey, doesn't everybody want to know God's voice? And he promises that you can know his voice when you seek him. And so for these next few days, we're going to seek him. We want to know his presence. I mean, I want to know God's presence, and God wants you to know his presence. He wants you to come boldly into his presence. He wants you to know him and tangibly sense him and feel him and just know how much he cares and loves for you. We want to go after him, refilling our hearts, and we want him to strengthen our souls because we need him to strengthen our souls. I want to ask you a question today as we get started. Ever wonder why it can be so hard to focus on God every day? Like, ever wonder why it's so hard to focus on him? You know, it feels like there's just a distraction here, distraction there, and like no matter how much you try, it feels like you're always being pulled away. Well, I think for a few moments what we're going to do is we're going to look at maybe the reason why that could be the case, and it always revolves around sin. Now, I know you're thinking, well, just because of sin here and sin there, but let me give you the definition of sin, which can help us understand this to a greater extent. Here's a great definition of sin: missing the mark. So you're after God, your aim is on God, and you think you've got him, and then suddenly you just miss him. You know what I mean? It's like you start off with the best intentions in the morning. I'm going to spend time with God. And then something comes in the way, an email, a phone call, somebody else comes in, and you just miss him. And I'm not saying that those things are sinful. What I'm saying is that sin is out to destroy our relationship with God. And it wants us to miss the mark. And isn't it interesting that where that term comes in the Greek is from an archery term, where the archer takes the bow, pulls back the string, pulls back the arrow, and he's ready to let it fly. And instead of hitting the target, which he is right on for, he misses it. And that's a great description of sin. Because sometimes it can seem like we're so close. The counterfeit is always so close. The enemy's like can lure us into so close to being, I'm so close to God. Religion's so close to God, but it's not quite there. And it's amazing in our lives that we start off with good intentions. We start off with good plans. We start off with good ideas. And then we just don't hit it. We just miss the target. We thought we were going to do it, and then we just miss it. And today, I want to tell us how we can hit the target and how we can be mindful of the enemy's tactics and how we can be mindful of the sin in our lives that wants to come and rob us and literally separate us from our relationship with God. And so this is what we're going to look at for just a few moments. Here's what sin wants us to do. It wants us to miss the whole point of life. That's what it wants to do. It wants us to miss the whole point of life so that we never quite get to that relationship with God, which is who we were all created for. We were all created by God and for God. I mean, our number one primary relationship is always God. Now, he doesn't want to keep us all to himself. In fact, what he wants us to do is be a blessing to the world around us and to take care of each other and be there for each other. And we're going to learn later on of what he calls us to do. But he says, I want you to realize that the focus of your life and the aim for your life should always be me, because you were made for me. You were born for me, and you're made to have relationship, and the ultimate relationship is with me. Guess what sin wants us to do? Help us to miss the mark of that. Help us to miss the mark of the center of our lives and to focus on something else that's lifeless or dead and just suddenly miss it, just get around the corner, or just never quite get there. Watch how your life wants to try to do that. Everything in life wants to try and do that. Why? Because we live in a sin-filled world where it's fallen and it's broken and it's trying to pull us away from God because there are other things at play all of the time. Imagine aiming at a target, but you miss it. You know, maybe you've been to the fairground, or you've maybe been somewhere about before COVID, before lockdown, you went places, and you maybe played one of those games at the amusement park where you took the gun and they maybe had like a cork on the end or had a laser on the end, and you were locked on and you were aimed for the target, and you thought, that's it, I've won the teddy, I'm gonna get this thing, and you suddenly didn't get it. It's like there's nothing worse. You were sure you had it, and then you didn't. You're absolutely got it. And it's funny, that's what sin wants to do in life. It's so subtle, but it's so real. It's so good at taking us off, keeping thinking that we're right on, and then suddenly we just miss it. Remember, a definition for sin is missing the mark. And God says, with me, you don't have to miss the mark. With me, Jesus went and he hit the mark. So with his blood, now suddenly you can live on course. You can live in my will. You can live in constant communication, and you can live in incredible relationship with me. That's what God's calling us all to today. Ever played one of those games where in the shopping center, you've got a pound in your pocket and you walk past that machine that's got loads of teddies in it and you say to yourself, I'm going to win. And it's got this like grab arm and it's got the joystick and you're like, definitely, I'm going to do this thing. I remember years ago playing those things because I was bored. My mum was always going shopping. I was like, we need to win some teddies. And some of the best ones were when they put like 10 pounds around the teddy. Now, those ones are definitely out to get you. It's like they're out to get you because you think you're going to win them, but they're just too tricky. So I try to stay away from them, focus on the teddies because they're usually a bit easier. But you ever played it? You're like, you're right on the joystick. You're right on the controller. You've got it dead on. The grab arm goes down. You're right on the teddy. You're like, this is it. I have won. It picks it up and then suddenly lets it go again. There's nothing worse. It's gotten. And it can be exactly the same in our lives. And watch how sin does it. And watch how the sin that's in this world does that. You think you finally made it. You think you finally got it. And then it's all gone. It is all gone. But what if we realize what we're really after? What if we really locked into what we should be after? And that is a life after God every single day. But why is it so hard? Because sin's out to help us to miss the mark. But Jesus has come to set us free from sin so that we can hit the mark every single time and every single day. Sin wants us to miss God. It wants us to keep us separated from God. And maybe the reason why it's so hard to stay focused on God, and maybe why the reason why it's so hard to stay focused on the things of God, is because sin has power. Let's read Romans 6:6. It says this, that we know that our own sinful selves were crucified with Christ. This is good. This is a good thing. So that the sin that we had might lose its power in our lives. You see, there's sin and it's powerful. And there used to be sin in our lives that was powerful. And guess what it did? It made us slaves. But Romans 6:6 tells me we are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know that we also live with him. So Jesus has set us free from sin, but sin's still a real thing in the world. We know this. It's still a real powerful thing. And it actually still wants to try to control us. It used to be that we had no choice out of it. Now we have a choice. That's the difference. But sin is still powerful. Even though Jesus defeated it in our lives, it's still powerful in the world. The enemy is still rampant. He is still trying to do his things. We still live in a fallen world. There is sin everywhere. And so we have to stay focused on Jesus, and we have to realize that sin does have power. If we don't do this, then even as Christians, it can overcome us and we can be just slaves again. Not in the strict sense that we were before, but we start to allow it to dominate us. We have the authority, but we start to let it dominate us. See, here's what the cross did. It broke the power of sin off our lives. So no longer are we slaves to it, but now we can be masters of it. But if we're not careful, we start to let it back in our lives because we kind of like certain things. We like this thing. We go after that thing. But I want to encourage us today that Jesus has already defeated sin. And so therefore, as people in Christ, hidden in him, we can defeat it as well. You see, is this not the reason why it's so tempting when you realize that sin has power? Is this not the reason why it wants to destroy us because you realize that sin has power? Isn't it incredible how sometimes you feel so powerless, even as a Christian, and you're like, I don't want to do this thing, or I don't want to go here, or I don't want to say this, but you feel like you get tripped up again because, again, sin has power. Or maybe those times where you're like, I don't want to, I want to stop, but I can't stop. I go again, or I do this thing, or I think that thought, and it's just crazy. every turn, at every turn, it's out to help us to miss the mark. But Jesus is greater. So sin is strong, but Jesus is greater. And we need to know this as Christians today. We need to know this, that we're in this battle, we're in this fight, so that it does not overcome us, and so that we are wise for the things that we face. So why do we keep falling for sin? Why do we keep doing it? Even as Christians, let's think about this question just for a moment. Why do we keep falling for sin as Christians? Because we know that we're dead to sin. We know that we're more than overcomers in Christ. We know that we've got the power. We know we're masters over it now. But why do we get overcome by it? Why does it keep tripping us up? And I think we've got to think a bit deeper to understand this. And it comes from this definition of missing the mark. I don't think that most Christians set out deliberately to sin. Come on, please tell me you don't do that. Now, if you do and you deliberately set out to sin, well, then there's something going on in your heart and you've got to repent. But even if you don't deliberately set out to sin, you've still got to repent, because sin is no good in the believer's life. But this is why I think it's so tricky, and let me try and explain it just for a moment. Remember that illustration of the archer, and he picks the arrow up, he picks the bow up, and he pulls it back, and he's going for the target. Now, what's his intention? I want to hit the bullseye, or I want to hit the target. He is locked on. He's ready to go for it. He's aiming for it. He goes for it, and then he suddenly misses it. And this is the thing with life. Remember, life has got loads of spiritual things going on. Life's got loads of physical things going on. It's out there. It's selfish. It's got its own mind at times. You know, there's enemy at work. I mean, there's all different things going on. And even with the best intentions sometimes, you take the bow out, you take the arrow out, and you aim, and you're well-practiced, and you're well-skilled, and yet sometimes you still miss the mark. You see, this is the thing that makes it so tricky, is that sometimes it just happens, but especially when we're not Christians, where we don't even realize what we're doing. But whenever we are Christians, we get ourselves into situations and predicaments. We say, I can overcome this. I can do this. But we have led ourselves into a place where it's just too difficult. It's just too hard. And we think, like, I'm going to overcome this. I'm going to be able to do this. And then we wind up missing the mark again. You see, I don't think anybody intentionally sets out to, especially as a Christian, especially sets out to do wrong or to do sin. But it trips us up because we get lost in focusing on Jesus. You see, if we don't keep our focus on him, then it's so easy to miss the mark. It's so tricky. It's so easy. There's so many temptations. There's so many real things, and sin is powerful. So the only way to overcome, the only way to stay true, is to keep our focus and to keep our gaze on Jesus and to stay locked in. Otherwise, it's going to try to deliberately pull us down. Why does it do this? Because we are powerful, but we're easily distracted and easily tempted. How does sin sometimes overcome us as Christians? Because we let it. We are powerful people, but it is tempting us. It is luring us. It is seducing us at times, and we fall for its trap. I want to encourage you, do not fall for its trap. You are a powerful person, but I know we can be easily distracted and we can be easily seduced. We've got to know God. We've got to stay fixed on him. We've got to stay locked in him. Otherwise, things that start off good can suddenly help us to miss the mark. I don't want us to miss the mark. I want us to stay focused on Jesus. Number two, we aren't serious enough in our fight against sin. You know, this can be absolutely it. You know, we're not serious enough in the sense of, whenever you get serious against your fight against sin, you get serious about the things of God, because you know, I need the full armor of God. I need to seek God's face. I need to pursue him. I need to be in his presence, because you know what? Sin abounds, but grace abounds all the more. This is the good news of the gospel. But if we're just helpless and careless and take it for granted, then sin is powerful and it is around and it wants to overcome, and the enemy is real and he's trying to pull us down. So we've got to be serious in our fight against it by being serious in the presence of God. And of course, number three, we're all living in a sin-filled world, so it's right there. So what is the solution? Can I give you some hope today? What is the solution? What is the solution? Well, it's living for God needs to be serious business. If we're going to have a solution to this problem, if we're going to have a solution to sin, if we're going to have a solution to keeping our eyes on Jesus, if we're going to have a solution to not missing the mark, it's that we take our life with God and we take it seriously. We say to ourselves, right, I'm a Christian. I'm going after this thing. I'm a Christian. I'm going to be real about this thing. I'm a Christian. I need Jesus. Here's what Mark 12, 30 says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. In other words, you're fully focused in every aspect of your life. There's just no way that you can do this Christian life. This is what Mark's saying. It's right through all of the Gospels. This is what Jesus said. There's just no way that you can stay locked in on me and stay focused on the target and always win and always overcome if you're not giving me everything. And notice what the writer says. He says, you've got to give me all your heart. You've got to give Jesus all your soul. You've got to give Jesus all your mind. You've got to give Jesus all your strength. I know sin is serious, but I'm serious for God. This is how I know a mature believer. This is how I know a person who's done with their sin. This is how I know a person who says, you know what? I'm serious about this thing, because they're serious about sin, but they're more serious about their relationship with God. They know what it is to fall. They know what it is to sin, and they're sick of it, and they're tired of it, and they say, I'm not doing this anymore. I want to follow after Jesus. And I don't even want those silly ones that trip me up, like just wasting time or just being lazy with my day. It might not be deeply bad stuff all of the time, but it might just be being lazy or just wasting the time or not redeeming our time and not being after the things of God because we find ourselves in love with other things or maybe just simply distracted. It's time to be fully focused on God. It's time to love Him with our whole heart. And here's God's answer for the whole thing, and we just read it. It's love. It is love. Pure love, undiluted love is the answer to break the power of sin. Amen. That is the answer. Whenever we are undiluted, whenever we are pure in our faith. Now, how on earth do you do any of this? You can't do it in your own strength. Can I just tell you that? Now, you can go off and live your life. You can go and sin in your own strength. You'll never do that in God's strength because God wouldn't let you sin. But I tell you what, to see to live for God, you've got to do it in His strength. He's such a good friend. He says, let's do it together. Every other aspect of your life, if you choose to, do it in your own strength. But if you're going to truly live for God and you're going to truly go after God and you're going to love Him with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with your whole mind and with your whole strength, the only way to do it is through God's love and with His help. I urge you today, don't miss the mark. Let's stay on course. Let's be locked in and let's do it with God's help. Mixing a little bit of God and the rest of your life never, ever works. You've got to be focused on Him and He is going to help you. So if you've sat on that and you've decided, come on, let's do this thing, what are you going to aim for? Here's what 1 Corinthians 10:31 says. So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Wow, even when you're eating and drinking, in other words, basic necessities of life, whenever you're doing those things, you're in McDonald's, you're having a Big Mac. I'm thinking about that because I'm 21 days of prayer and fasting. But do you know what I'm saying? It's like you're out and about, you're just going about your normal every day. And the Bible tells us, do it all for the glory of God. Why? Because if you don't stay locked in on Him, you're going to start missing the mark on loads of other things. And even simple things like eating and drinking are going to trip you up. Colossians 3:17 says this, so whatever you do, whether it be in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We're to do everything through God's strength. See that? Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We do everything through God's strength. He's the one who helps us to stay focused. So what are we aiming for? We're aiming to live our whole lives for Jesus and through Jesus. We're aiming to live our whole lives locked in on the things of God. You don't have to. This is good news. You don't have to try to be locked in with them and then locked in with other things, try to do your own things, try to do somebody else's things. He says, stay locked in with me. And even in eating and drinking, you can do them for my glory. In fact, in every word that you say, in fact, in every action that you can take, you can do it through me and for me and with me. God is wanting to do this thing with us. Our life is to be in relationship with Him, and through Him, we can always do this thing. So we are people full of purpose. Can I tell you this today? That what are you aiming for? I want to ask you, what are you aiming for? Because you are, and I am, we are people full of purpose. And here's the point. Everything that we do counts. And I'm going somewhere with this today. Everything that we do counts. And so where I want to get to is right now is identity. I want to ask you the question. It's like, if we want to aim better for God, then we've got to see ourselves better as God sees us. If we're going to aim better for the things of God, and we're going to aim after the things of God, and we're going to have the right aim, then we need to know how God sees us. Isn't that interesting? We didn't need to know the target better. I mean, we know God. He's amazing. He's incredible. You know what the real disconnect is? We don't see ourselves as incredible. We don't see ourselves as God made us. He says, you are incredible. You are amazing. And I think half the battle is, and half the battle, the way the enemy wins and helps us to miss the mark, and why we go after sin sometimes, we go after here at this time, sometimes and we miss God in these things, it's because we see God as amazing, but we don't see ourselves as God sees us. And He sees us as His children. Wow. He sees us as co-heirs. He sees us as co-heirs with Christ. Wow. We are His handiwork. We are His craftsmanship. We are made precious in His sight. You see, when you start to see yourself better, you start to see God better. You'll start to hit the target more because you'll be like, man, I know who I am. I know what He's done for me. I know who I am in Christ. Why would I want to live any other way? You see, God's calling us today, if we're going to aim better, we need to see ourselves better in God. And it's about our identity. God no longer sees your imperfections. Let me read Ephesians 2:13. But now you've been united with Christ. Once you were away from God, but now you've been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. Wow. You see, before we had no chance. We just couldn't hit the target no matter how much we tried. Every time we're just about to hit it, we miss it. Or every time we would land on it, we would lose it. But God says now in Jesus, we're hidden in Him. You once were away from God, but now you've been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ Jesus. Wow. Every blemish, every imperfection, every fault, every failing, every time we even miss the mark, even as believers today, it's covered in the blood of Jesus. Does that give us an excuse to sin? Absolutely no way. That gives us the authority and the blessing to say, hey, even though you've made a mistake today, you haven't lost your identity. Even though you've made a few mistakes along the way, you haven't lost your authority. You haven't lost your identity because Jesus says you are hidden in Me and My blood has washed you forever clean. Wow. That's just mind-blowing. That tells me, wow, I must be worth something because Jesus came and He died for me. That's incredible. Jesus needs you to know that you are worth so much, that you are worth so much that He would die for you. Here's what He does with our mistakes and our sins. He washes them with His blood. Romans 8:1, I love this verse. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you that sometimes the reason why people aren't aiming for the things of God, even as Christians, is because they are so loaded up with shame? Wow. It's like you were guilty and you had your sins taken care of, and so that guilt seems to be taken care of. But you know what? Inside, you feel you're still a busted mess. You feel that your problem is actually an internal one, not an outside one. It's like internally, it's like, yeah, you can make bad choices, but internally, you think you are a bad choice. You think you are just a bad thing. You just don't think there's any way around this. And maybe it's been confirmed and affirmed by your own thoughts or somebody else's thoughts or by somebody else's words, but you're riddled with shame. And here's where shame comes from, the enemy. And shame is locked up and hidden in sin. And shame will always help us to miss the mark. And so as believers, we got to realize that our shame has been taken care of. And so therefore, there is no condemnation. There is no shame. There is no guilt for those who are in Christ Jesus, even for our decisions that we make tomorrow, even for our choices that we make next week, and we might make a few bad ones. Who doesn't? It happens sometimes. But God is with us, and He has dealt with that shame, and He has taken away that guilt. And He says, I don't want you to live in shame, because guess what shame does? It robs us of our identity. And if it robs us of our identity, then we can't see ourselves correctly. And if we can't see ourselves correctly, then we will not aim for the things of God, because you know why? We will think we don't deserve them, or we'll think there's just no way I could do them anyway. You see, we beat ourselves, and the enemy loves it, and he keeps that victory, and he's like, yeah, that's right, and he keeps sending the right sort of people along. And then watch what we do. We start to self-harm and self-sabotage ourselves, because then we just watch different things, read different things, associate with different people, because we start to believe that it really is true, and we just get in this darker and darker pit. And I want to break you forth today. I want to break you forth. In fact, I want to drop you a rope of grace. I want to drop some grace all over your life. I want to drop some joy all over your life. I want to drop some incredible, pure love all over your life that says, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. He sent Jesus, and that includes you. And so even in the midst of your shame, even in the midst of your guilt, even in the midst of your sin, Jesus came. Because He loved you so much, not because he was forced to, but because He wanted to, because He loves you. So if you're still battling shame, going round in circles with shame, I want to set you free from it today. You have an identity in Christ, hidden in Him, and guess what? You're victorious in Jesus. You're fully loved and fully provided for. And so what are you aiming for? If you know Jesus, then you can aim after Him. Shame wants to rob us of our identity, but let me give you some good news. We are victorious in Jesus. We are fully loved and provided for, and you've got to receive that today. You've got to know that today. Don't reject it, but receive it. And if you're trying to work yourself through this shame stuff and trying to work your heart through it, and you've tried it so many times, trust Jesus with it. Get vulnerable before Him. Tell Him the things you're battling with. Tell Him the shame that you're struggling with. Get around some trusted friends who can love you well through it and be vulnerable before them and watch how you lift that stuff off. It never comes back, and Jesus totally heals you and sets you free from it. In fact, He's already delivered you from it. You just need to let go of it. Amen. You just need to let go of it, because it's going to riddle and ruin your life from now to eternity. Don't live with it. Even as a Christian, don't live with it. If you're not a Christian, don't live with it. Come to Christ and watch how He sets you free from your guilt and your shame. He is absolutely incredible. So come on, what are you aiming for? If we are aimless with our aim, then we're literally lifeless. It's like as if we're speeding along, we're moving, we're in motion, but nothing's counting for us. I'm telling you, as a Christian, as a person, whoever you are, we are called to aim because there's purpose on our lives. There's significance on our lives. Our lives count. What are you aiming for? You should know, and you should be going after it. And I'm going to encourage you, it's Jesus. It's going after Him in every extent and in every way, and He will sustain you, and He will absolutely help you. So let me give you one incredible invitation as we're finishing. And I love this final verse, James 4:8, come close to God and God will come close to you. We have this incredible invitation available to us every single moment of every single day. What are you aiming for? Make it Jesus. Come close to God and God will come close to you. We're in our locked and loaded fast. We're talking about getting locked in this week. Let's get locked in with God like never before. You're not going to be able to do it in your own strength, but if you ask Him, He will help you and He will bring you right in, and you will be forever changed. Remember, sin wants to help you to miss the mark, but Jesus has defeated the power of sin over your life. So aim for Him and watch how the Lord will help you and sustain you. Guys, we're going to pray today. I want to ask you the question, do you know Jesus? Have you ever aimed your life towards Him? If you haven't, today's a good day to do it. I want to encourage you, if you're just feeling something going on the inside, maybe you're just feeling this conviction. We talk about conviction, which is simply that feeling of, oh man, I just feel terrible. I just need to get my life right. If you're feeling that right now, that is a God thing. That is a good thing. And it's time to turn your life to Him. If you're a Christian, and I'm going to say to you, hey, come on, what way are you aiming your life? It's so easy to get just onto other things. It's so easy to be like, I'm aiming here, I'm aiming there. It's like, oh, we get distracted, we get consumed, we get fulfilled by other things. But I'm telling you this, Jesus said, I want you to get fully consumed and I want you to fully aim for me and make every part of your life, your eating, your drinking, your talk, your actions, I want every part of it to be for me and through me and for my glory, because you are here to do significant things and your life counts. Don't be lied to any longer. Come on, we're going to pray today. Lord, I thank you for every heart, Lord. I thank you for every person, Lord. I thank you for the privilege of being able to speak to people's lives. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak boldly into every heart, into every life. I pray, Jesus, for anybody who doesn't know you, anybody that needs to get right with God today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak mightily into their hearts. I pray that they would realize there's sin in their lives, there's sin that's just no good. And the Bible tells us that without sin, we're never going to make it to heaven. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, if we accept His sacrifice and we accept Jesus as Lord of our lives, then suddenly our sins are forgiven and our lives are forever changed. Lord, I pray for that wonderful knowledge to come over people's hearts today. I pray for anyone who needs that, and loads of people that need that, that they would say yes to you, and that simple act of obedience would forever change their lives. So I pray right now, Jesus, just speaking that right over any heart and any life that needs you, that they would receive you right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for us as Christians. I pray for those that have been following you for a short time, long time, or just still trying to figure this whole thing out. Lord, I pray we would realize that we're called to follow after you and you only. We're called to lock in on you and you only. And every aspect of our lives, every single part should be for you and for your glory. And you will sustain us and you would help us. Lord, I pray today that we would love you with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole strength, our whole soul. We will not hold back in any form, and that we will realize that the antidote to beat sin is always pure love. Lord, I pray for any of us that are battling shame. Lord, we just rebuke that shame in Jesus' name, and we just give that person freedom to be able to say what is going on, to be able to own up to what they're facing, to be able to own up and say and be truthful to some people around them. This is what I'm facing. There's no shame in being truthful. In fact, every time we reveal shame, we defeat it when pure love is right there. And so, Jesus, I pray for those that are battling. I pray for those that are going through the trials, those that are going through those inner battles of saying, I'm no good, or I could never, or I'll never. And Lord, I just pray that they would realize they are sons and daughters of the living God, and they would know your hope and know your compassion. Lord, I pray for us as we're in the middle of this fast. I pray for your strength. I pray for your enabling. We will not be able to do this in our own strength, but with you, we can absolutely do it. And I thank you, Lord, that we're here for these significant days. Let us be a blessing to you, and let us be a blessing to our world. In Jesus' beautiful name, amen.